Street Knowledge Soldiers presents Redemption. Today on the show, I have with me Randy Kraft, CDCR number E as an elephant, 38700. Today's podcast is titled A Walk in the Fog. Welcome to the show, Randy.
Glad to be here.
Honored to have you. I'll just start off with why. Why a walk in the fog?
Well, a couple of days ago when we came out for breakfast in the morning, I was startled when I went out the door, not in a bad way, but startled in a good way, that there was fog outside. I hadn't seen it for maybe 40 years because where I come from in San Quentin, whenever there's fog, they won't let us go outside because they can't see all the people in the fog because the fog is obstructing their view. And if we're out there and it starts to get foggy, then we have to go inside. So we're never out there when it's actually, foggy. And I was out there in the fog, and my hands weren't cuffed behind my back, and I could go anywhere I wanted to on the yard. And it was really interesting. I couldn't see across the yard where the kitchen is, where we have breakfast, and it was like walking into an unknown kind of thing, you know. I mean, it wasn't super thick, but it reminded me of a fog, and it was fog.
Yes.
And so I told that story to you, and you kind of picked up on it, and then I suggested the title, you know. And getting into things that are unknown, which is my whole life for the past 40 years, is a lot of unknown things, and it's kind of a good metaphor, I think.
It really is. I've been in for 23 years, and due to the fact that I didn't land on death row, but I did fight the special circumstance, so I didn't know where I was going to land, so I believe at the beginning I was in a fog as well. And when you said that to me, it's why it resonated so much with me, because something that's so natural from Mother Nature, but yet when you don't have your freedom anymore, that small little thing of just stepping out in the fog is something we didn't ever get. They run emergency counts behind the fog. So anytime there's the fog, they'll run you in. So I understand what you're saying about San Quentin, and that's more Northern California.
Yeah, well, San Francisco Bay is known for fog.
For fog. And we're not in San Quentin. We're in Chino State Prison in Chino, California, which is in Southern California. And you're not on death row anymore.
Right. Well, I'm not physically on death row, but they've spread death row out across the state. And each prison has a small number of people who are sentenced to death. But they're not in one location anymore. They're spread out around the state. So there's still a death row. It's just not concentrated.
So the housing unit was not there anymore.
Yeah, we were all together in one five-story building, you know, the big house.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
And this journey was 40 years in the making at the beginning till this very day, which was just a couple of days ago, you got to go out and feel the fog.
Yeah, and it felt good. In a way that's just indescribable. You know, it felt natural.
It
felt like an old friend. It felt like something I hadn't done in a long, long, long time. And that was nice. It was really nice.
Yes, I could only imagine. For our listeners' sake, 40 years would put us in the 80s?
Somewhere. 1983. I was arrested in 1983. And I've been down ever since.
And then from 83, before you touched San Quentin's death row, was what year?
89 is when I showed up in San Quentin, November of 89.
89, so that's all the 90s, all the millennium, and two decades after that, because we're about to turn the calendar on 2025.
Yeah, it's something like 35 years, or somewhere around there, 30-something, yeah. And since the day I was arrested, it's 41 years.
My goodness. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the process of Proposition 66 that created the shutdown of the housing unit. But as far as the documentation goes, like you said, you're still a death row inmate.
Right.
When they look me up, I'm a lifer.
Right.
With different categories too. So they have the lifers with the possibility of parole, then they have LWOP, which is life without the possibility of parole, and then there's the death row inmate.
Yeah, we don't know how they're going to work it if they ever do start running the executions again, whether they would go to a prison and pull a person out and take them to some other location. Who knows? That's all up in the air. So really, it's uncertain what would happen right now.
I will admit I gave some thought to that. And from a mental health standpoint, where mental health is a big thing now, to let a person come out and then see the freedoms of being able to walk a yard, go to the chow hall. Like you said, you were walking towards the chow hall, not in a full-blown fog, but enough fog to enjoy it, because fog has like a moisture texture to it.
Right, and it touches your skin.
So it touches you.
You feel it.
So you could feel it. So it is a sensation, and that is going to be a tough spot to be in, considering it's up in the air on what they're going to do. And I really don't see the humanity in that. I really believe they should do without the death penalty. That's my opinion.
Well, let's not get into the political aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my opinion. Well, you know, the fog in itself, where we're titled A Walk in the Fog. When you took that walk, what were the feelings, the emotions?
Well, not to over-dramatize it, but it felt kind of like being reborn. I mean, going back to something that I hadn't had in a long, long, long time. So it felt like a rejuvenation, a rebirth of some sort. Real small, not a major thing. Yeah.
It's very significant. I remember when I went to go pick up Mauricio Silva, which you say you came to know, and that's Monster.
Yeah.
So he was one of the very first ones that landed here. I started a group on the yard that matches the name of the podcast, which is Redemption. And one of my vessels was to be a liaison. As the inmates were arriving from San Quentin, I would go greet them. And this is a big guy. I mean, this guy, when I mean Monster, this guy is big.
He's massive.
Yes, very massive. And I went to pick him up. He was in a wheelchair. He was pleasant to greet, and he was pleasant with me. But when he walked off from R&R and we started the wheel, he didn't want to go further. This yard has a lot of nice green grass, and that's what he wanted to do. He wanted me to stop adjacent to the curb so he could kind of lean down, touch the grass, and he was just admiring the grass.
Yeah. And at San Quentin, there isn't any grass. It's completely gone. It's all concrete, cinder block, and chain link. And there's every now and then a weed trying to struggle up through the concrete.
Oh, wow.
And that's all there is, you know.
Wow.
So to see grass, it is.
It's an amazing thing after so long. Yes. So along with the fog, the same went for you. You didn't see grass for almost 40 years.
No. And I was out walking in it today. As a matter of fact, but not because it was grass, but because I had to go someplace and I had to walk across it to get to the handball court where I was doing some workout. Yeah.
Can I ask, how does it feel after being enclosed for so long? It said that there's something that happens to the human body called atrophy or something like that. So when you don't get much movement and then now you're able to move around, how's that make the body feel?
Well, it is destructive of muscles and tendons and bones and that kind of thing. And I've discovered just in the past couple of years that from being in a small, very small single cell, they're the size of about half of a normal bathroom. They're really small. But you don't take as large as steps. And so I've been taking really small steps for 40 years, and I've become habituated to that. And that's why I think you see old people a lot of time take small steps because they can't do any bigger. So I'm making an effort now to increase the length of my step whenever I go to chow. On the concrete walk, there are dividers like every 2 or 3 feet, and I make sure my 1 foot touches the divider each time I take a step. And it's an exercise you want to go back and forth from chow.
Yeah.
Just to increase the, because it's been so long that I was taking small steps all the time.
Yes, and I can imagine, because another brother that I was talking to, Curtis, he was telling me the same thing, that the length of the walk, because this is a pretty good sized yard.
It is.
I don't know what the parameter of this track is, but it's pretty big. I would say Olympic size, if not bigger. It looks pretty massive.
Yeah, it's about the same size, or maybe a little bigger than the Coliseum in Los Angeles, I think.
Yes, so when you do one full lap just to go from A to B, before you know it, you're getting some exercise.
Yeah.
And it's a hike every time you go somewhere. The mental health, if you go to the doctor, you go to the chow hall, you go to the library, anything you want to do, you really got to walk for it, versus before everything would come to you.
Yeah.
If you could describe what a walk in the fog would be as far as when you're in the fog, sometimes you're alone. And I've been in a metaphorically speaking way, I've been in walks in the fog. And that's a place sometimes where I like to be, in the solitary. I like to gather my thoughts and my feelings, my emotions. This place is fast. A lot of people constantly moving. Do you miss solitary, or do you like the constant movement?
Well, no, it's easy to be in your own solitary by just staying in yourself, you know, and avoiding people. But I like to get out and be among people myself, and I'm not afraid of meeting new people. You know, some people are kind of reluctant to extend their hand and meet someone new. I enjoy it myself. And the metaphor of fog, it may be challenging. You don't know what's to come, but that's life. And I try to meet it with a smile if I can. I'm not paranoid about things I don't know. I want to learn about them. So.
And I see that in you, because right now we're about to close out. We only get our 15-minute allowances, but you've acclimated really well. I do see you at times out on the mini yard. You just kind of do your little exercise by yourself. You've been really open to people. You're open to me. I've asked you a couple times if you would do this with me, and then you finally decided to do it, and I think it was a little push of Mother Nature help, and I'm grateful for that. So now that we're just breaking down to our last minute or so, what would you like to close off with?
Well, I wouldn't suggest going to prison to get motivated to meet people and be outgoing. But I think people should be more courageous in their daily routines and not shrink back and be afraid of the future.
I agree with that. I don't know what my future has in store, and as well, maybe yourself as well. But if it be just for the day, and Mother Nature decides to give some rain or some thunder or maybe even some snow, because this mountain, it gets really filled with snow, and such as the day we just had, which was the fog that allowed you to have a walk in the fog, I just like to close off with the beauty of those small things that at times people in the free world will take for granted. And I would just love to live for that moment when you do have them. Enjoy them and take them in for the best of your self-care, so to speak.
One other thing, let me say, as you mentioned the mountains.
Yes.
And the mountains here are the mountains that ring, that are the northern border of Los Angeles. And when I was growing up in Orange County, we could see them. And whenever they had snow, I'd say, well, hey, Dad, there's snow in the mountains. Can we go up and play and take the sled and stuff, you know? And today I like to go out and over by the medical unit over here, so you get a very good view of them. I just like to stand there and look at them. It's a different angle than what I grew up with, but it's still, it's the same mountains, and I feel close to them.
Oh, okay, so that's the name of the mountains, Los Angeles Mountains?
Yeah, well, it's Mount Baldy.
It's
over there, and I forget what they're called.
I just remember that along one of these end caves in the mountains, when I was in Cost Country, because I went to Canyon Springs High School, we ran up there, a mountain called Mount Sack.
So Mount San Antonio College, yeah.
So they have a lot of like track meets, and we used to go up there. And I myself love Mother Nature, and it's something I take enjoyment to. A couple more weeks from now, this whole mountain's going to be full of white snow.
Hopefully.
And yes, hopefully. And it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a wonderful sight.
It really is. So I want to go ahead and say thank you, Mr. Kraft. I like to say thank you as my friend, Randy. This was a pleasure to go ahead and take a walk in the fog with you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I hope that maybe if anybody likes what we're doing, go ahead, drop a comment. Maybe we'll come back with the second edition of something else for you. So from Street Knowledge Soldiers Presents Redemption, we'd like to thank you once again, Randy. We'd like to thank our listeners, and good evening.